Welcome to Right on Track, a songwriting podcast. Thanks to Tone for tuning in. I'm Demi Michelle Schwartz, and I'm thrilled you're joining me on my songwriting journey. So kick back and relax, don't fall flat, and remember, stay right on track. Hey everyone, welcome back to Right on Track. Joining me today is the UK-based duo Cash and Carter. Hi, guys.
Hey.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you? Well, I'm good. I don't know how Ross is, but I'm fine.
Yeah, I'm good as well. It's all good.
I'm fantastic. I'm delighted you both are joining me today because we are going to be having a conversation about staying motivated in the music industry, along with chatting about your music. But before we get into that, can each of you share your individual journeys into music and maybe some highlights you've had so far, and then share your decision of how you came about joining together for Cash and Carter?
Sure. Ross, do you want to go first?
Oh, geez. Okay. This could be long, you know. Have you got longer than 30 minutes? What was I going to say?
Just for you.
Oh, yeah. I can steal all of the limelight here. Well, it's like many journeys. It's been a bit of a long one for me personally. I think initially kind of got the bug of sort of listening to music and working out music probably in my early teenage years. But I never really took music seriously probably until maybe I was 18 or something like that, where I started writing songs. And I was fortunate enough to be a session musician as a guitarist and a singer in London for a few acts along the way. But I always kind of felt like I was, kind of missing a trick somewhere. I don't know. I got this kind of imposter syndrome, like I wasn't quite meant to be there, but which was totally bogus because I could play the guitar and play the parts well, in my opinion. So I was okay. But I tried to write more songs and do more projects where I was a creator versus, you know, just being, you know, part of the band, I suppose. So try to write and write and write and write as much as I possibly could. And that's how me and Sean ended up crossing paths. We had I used to be a session guitarist for a mutual friend of ours. And he said that, you know, I've got this friend locally who's looking to, you know, for a session guitarist. I think that was initially how we met, actually, Sean.
Yeah.
And we worked some songs out, did a load of shows together, and realized we could tolerate each other for longer than a few days. And I think we've been working together ever since. I think it's going to be a 10-year anniversary soon, isn't it? I don't know when. But
yeah, I mean, it's kind of one of them. I kind of did the same, a lot of the same things as Ross, kind of went to music college and stuff, but I was probably not as, I'm not definitely not as like musical as in regards to the knowing the, you know, the instruments and the chords. I was just mainly a performer. So never really dived heavily into the songwriting until I moved to London and found a few friends and got into a few situations where I had to write my own stuff and then kind of fell into it that way. Runs alongside another project that I do called Stealth. I'm an artist called Stealth as well. And that's basically where me and Ross kind of started working together. I would say our journeys are kind of quite intertwined from right at the very beginning. Like one of the biggest successes I've had, I would like to think, is also one of Ross's. we did a song called Judgment Day, and that was, you know, that's done over 26 million streams on Spotify, and it's been synced worldwide and stuff. And basically me and him have been working ever since. That was the first EP I put out as that artist. But obviously working together all the time, you know, not everything we write necessarily fits for a certain project. And it got to the point where me and Ross were kind of having a conversation and we were like, we've got so many good songs that just don't seem to fit with what I'm doing, but they're also quite personal. And then too difficult to pitch to another artist. Maybe we should look at putting these out ourselves and do a side project and basically kind of get this all together. And that's kind of how it happened, really naturally.
Yeah,
that's perfect. That's super interesting. So because you both are artists in your own rights, how is it for you guys to bring your individual perspectives and preferences and tastes for music into this duo project while keeping what's authentic to you and also developing a unique sound for Cash and Carter?
I mean, if I was going to say, I think we're quite good because we've worked together so long. We're actually quite good at not kind of treading on each other's toes a little bit. Like, you know, at the end of the day, if Ross is, you know, if I turn around and go, I've got this chord progression, and then Ross sits down and plays it and then adds a few things that make it sound way, way better, I'm not going to sit there and go, nah, mate, I want this just standard three chord progression. Like he's far more, you know, and it's in sort of the same things where I've got, where I kind of have a few strengths, we're quite happy just kind of letting each other express ourselves. Until, you know, unless there's something really, really bad that we need to say. But yeah, we're quite happy and quite comfortable just letting each other express ourselves. I mean, I don't let, this is where Ross goes, I disagree.
He's said that, but really I agree, you know. It's nice when you kind of get to a point, you know, perhaps like a relationship or anything like that, you know, friendship or something like that, where you can kind of also have honest conversations with each other about bits and bobs and, yeah, no one ends up treading on each other's toes. But also we can, you know, if something doesn't sound right, we're both confident in our own ability and also like, yeah, no problem, let's try something else. So
all the best writing partnerships I've had and have got, you know, have always had a level of honesty in there as well. Like you can't be afraid to tell somebody that something's bad. Like, because we're all, money is time and time is money. Like we don't want to be in the studio for 3 days writing one chorus or something. So like, you know, and that's a really important thing. Like from knowing each other quite for a long time, we're very honest and open with each other. And at the same time as well, if we think something's really good and the other person's like, oh, I'm not sure, you know, we give each other the confidence to pursue that idea.
Yeah. Or we'll text each other relentlessly until one of us gives in and like, this is a good idea. This is a good idea. It needs to be done. But we've done that. We've had that in the past, like where one of us has, you know, pushed an idea a little bit more than the others, has had a bit of a vision for it. And yeah. I've been on both ends of that. You know, I know you have as well. Like, but it's generally worked out pretty well, I think, surprisingly. But, you know, well, maybe not surprisingly, but yeah, it's worked out.
Love it. I love all that so much. So what's the story behind the name Cash and Carter?
Well, I think I kind of pushed this one through. I had the idea ages and ages ago. I'm a huge, and I know Ross is as well, but I'm a huge Johnny Cash fan. And I just love the film Walk the Line. I mean, obviously I love all of his music and I love June Carter as well. And I just think they're two iconic people in that kind of field of music. And I was amazed that nobody had actually used the name before. So I thought, you know what? It fits, genre specific. Okay, it might be a bit punchy. like a bit arrogant to call ourselves that, but that's kind of was always for me, like, you know, it just seemed like a no-brainer.
Awesome. So let's chat now about motivation and the music industry. And Sean has a great quote to read, so go ahead and read that.
If you're working on something that you really care about, you don't have to be pushed. The vision pulls you. And that's from Steve Jobs.
So what does this mean to each of you?
Well, for me, it just means that, you know, it's the thing that gets you up in the morning, isn't it? It's not you don't have to like drag yourself into the studio to go, oh, I've got to go and write a song today. It's like, you know, oh, I've got this idea, and you literally, it's like an itch you have to scratch almost. That's kind of the way I see that, and that's the way I kind of see that quote. Is it's like, you know, you wouldn't be content unless you walk that path.
I mean, that's the first time I heard that quote. That's a great quote, to be fair. I think it's true. You know, like there's definitely something that can be said for things that you love to do. You know, you probably work a lot harder on things that you love, perhaps maybe harder than you would have done on a subject that you know you don't like. But it's literally because you love it, you know, and that's probably one of the main reasons that every single person gets into music or writing songs. You know, they kind of love to listen back to new ideas and things that they've created. I mean, there's nothing better than that. I think if I could just do that forever, that'd be great. You know?
It's also the reason I'm poor.
well, the money will come, you know. the bills will be paid eventually. Just hopefully, you know, this side of 40 or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, that's so funny. I really like this quote because I like how it mentions the vision, and I think that's a huge point when it comes to motivation and drive, because if you have a clear vision for something, then you have the motivation to pursue it. And I think this can go for really anything in life, but especially looking at the songwriting process and all the things we have to do as artists to release our music, all those steps. If you have a strong idea for a song and a strong vision that you really, really want to tell that story or write about that emotion or whatever, then that's going to motivate you to write about it because it's inside you and you need to get that out and you have that drive. Versus I think like in moments where you may not have like a solid idea for a song or you're in the studio and something just isn't working, I feel like that's where the motivation starts to lack a little bit because you're not fully driven because your vision isn't as clear as it can be. So I think it's really interesting when we look at vision and drive compared to motivation, and the clearer our goals are and our vision is, the more motivated we will be.
You've also got to look at the guy who's, you know, Steve Jobs wasn't really a person who created anything. He was a salesman essentially. And that's all we're doing. With, you know, once the music's made, we're trying to sell music. And if nobody can see the vision that you can see, you know, you have to make sure that that is as clear as day to you so you can portray that to other people. And if you can see that clearly and you know what it is, that makes makes the sales so much easier.
Yeah, I think it comes down to like being sort of genuine to yourself.
Yeah.
You know, first and foremost, and then, you know, the consistency of, you know, writing or, you know, delivering good ideas and positive things on songs, and the more you chip away at that, the more you do, you know, it's only a matter of time before something really clicks, and you know, you maybe get that one song out of 20 or 30 songs that you write, you know, that really sets you apart from other people, you know, and then that way you always find that people come to you for that song because, you know, nobody else can quite create music like you do. I think if you're in music and you know you're not sharing your opinion, you know, or your view on how you see the world, you know, you're going to lack a bit of uniqueness there. You know, you've got to impart some of you on your creations, you know, otherwise it doesn't come across genuine. But you know, that's just my two pence opinion. 2 cents. Yeah.
2 pence, that's so funny. Oh my god.
Yes, we've got pence over here.
That's so funny. No, I love what both of you said. I think everything really connects nicely because I'm a full believer in authenticity too and consistency. And the best way to achieve consistency is to be yourself. If you're trying to fake it and you're not being genuine, then you're going to be all over the place. But if you're yourself, then you're, you know, authentically consistent. And that ties right into what Sean was saying about the whole thing about music being you're selling the music, you're trying to sell yourself, and you're trying to get people to connect to the music and understand it. And if you're coming from an authentic place and you're consistent with that, and you have a clear vision that's motivating you to release these songs and, you know, record them and write them and everything, you're going to make that vision and your intent really clear to the listeners. So I think that's really important. But the other thing too, I feel like when we're lacking a little bit of motivation, I always try to return to why I'm doing this in the first place. I love music. I love writing songs. And so when I'm struggling and when I'm in those moments where I'm not motivated, trying to return to the art form that I love so much is a great way to get back on track. So what are some of your tips that you like to help you get back on track when you're not motivated?
One of mine, I mean, this one's quite a tough one sometimes, because obviously you don't win. Sometimes you're least motivated when you haven't had a win for a while. But one of the big things to kind of continue to stay motivated is I try and celebrate all the small wins I get. Like, you know, I think for me this year, I've had some really great things happen this year, but one of the best parts of the year for me as a songwriter was getting our first song All of the Way on New Music Friday Country, which was, for a new artist with no monthly listeners, was pretty unheard of. It was quite a big deal for us. Now, okay, only turned into 5,000 streams or 10,000 streams. You know, it's not going to pay my mortgage, but that is a huge win for a new artist. And that was probably one of my, it wasn't the biggest thing that happened to me as a songwriter this year, but that was one of the best little wins that I had. And I remember calling Ross and the label really, really excited about it. And it's those little moments that, as long as, because the thing is, obviously, when you do music and stuff, and as everybody hopes, your career progresses and it gets, you know, it gets better and better and better, you know, you forget those things. You forget, like, when you had your first New Music Friday, or you then start expecting that as a minimum for everything. But you still should always celebrate all those little things, because otherwise you just become really kind of cynical and bitter and it's really hard to kind of stay happy, I think, a lot of the time. So that's my big thing, is celebrate everything.
Yeah, no, that's good, man. You've got to celebrate those wins for sure. It's a bit of a tricky one, because it always depends on the circumstances, and sometimes life will get in the way of you being creative in certain aspects. But I always find, for me, if I pick up like, you know, circumstances will change, but generally, like, if I'm struggling to come up with some new ideas or jump on another instrument that I don't know that well, like, I probably do most of my writing now on a piano, but I've trained on the guitar, you know, I'm more proficient on that instrument. Or, you know, I might limit myself to just recording ideas into just a tape machine that I've got at home, and get away from the computer and the screen, you know. So, and really limit my options so that the ideas have to be good, you know. So it's just that all these little things will be unique to the individual, I think. But just trying new things. I think, you know, writing a song in a totally different genre that you're out of your comfort zone on, or
that's a really good one. Like, I found, especially when I wasn't really writing for other people, I was mainly concentrating on my own individual artist projects. Like, actually stepping out of that headspace and writing for somebody else, you know, just kind of completely doing something. Or, you know, even sometimes I'm normally a top liner, but, you know, actually trying to get behind the computer and do a bit of production or something like that, just to kind of go, oh, this is really interesting. And then all of a sudden you get that kind of love for it back. You know, just kind of stepping out of, because it is quite, you know, when you're putting all that pressure on yourself as an artist or as a producer and stuff like that, sometimes just stepping out of that headspace and just getting back to like you were saying earlier, you know, just getting back to that, why am I here? Why am I doing this? What is the fun part of this job? Can be a real good motivator to kind of go back to work the next day.
Yeah. Yeah, I love everything you both said. I think it's really important what Ross was saying about the flexibility and changing things up to give yourself a fresh perspective to the writing process, change your instrument, change the way you're writing to give a different approach. And also, Sean, I love what you were saying about it, celebrating the little wins. That's huge for me because I, like, when I'm in those moments of, like, self-doubt and, like, not being motivated and things like that, you can feel like you're an epic failure and, like, nothing is going your way or anything. And when you actually stop and reflect and think, like, no, like, these are all the things I've done, and you see the progression of, you know, the things you've done since you started, like, for me especially, like, last year, I was interviewed on my hometown top 40 radio station, and then this year I won my first music award. So just like looking at those. Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. So yeah, this year, like, even though there were moments where I was like doubting myself, I thought back on those times, and a way that I love to just keep track of things is on my blog. I update, like, I do monthly wraps, so I share like everything that I did that month, and that's really good for like my mental health, because there are some months where I will feel like I didn't do anything, and then when I go to put those blogs together at the end of every month, there's always something to write about that's reminding me I am doing things. So those little ways, yeah.
One other thing is that I was always say, like, turn up. Like, so it sounds really, like, obviously it's one of the hardest things to do when you're not, when you haven't got any motivation, like, but still show up. So if, like, there are days where, so I spent, I got dropped by, I was signed to Sony for 3 years and I got dropped. And after that period, I felt incredibly low. Was an awful experience. Like, you know, did not feel great creatively and this, that, the other. And I said in the new year, my New Year's resolution was that year, I'm not going to cancel a session. Like, if any opportunity comes up to work, I will turn up. And like, you know, and there were some sessions where I felt not. I mean, obviously, if you've got COVID, don't go to the session. Like, don't make everybody ill. But if you're like, you know, sometimes you might have had an extra one too many beers the night before, and you're like, oh, I'm a bit hungover, I don't want to go. The mad thing was, is all of the sessions that I was like, I'm going to cancel this, I don't want to go, and I went, no, pull yourself together, you should go in. I reckon it's a high percentage of those songs all got cut and got released. Like, if I hadn't turned up to those sessions, those songs wouldn't have existed. Those songs wouldn't have gone out into the world. And they wouldn't be the little wins that I could celebrate that year. So part of it is literally sometimes just putting on your, you know, your adult pants and going out to work sometimes.
Yeah,
you have adult pants, Sean?
I was going to say boys, but man, like big boy pants on. But then I thought that was a bit, you know, there's... you know, a plethora of people who could put their pants on.
Yeah.
So I feel like this is taking a really odd turn now. Sorry.
Oh my goodness. So now I want to chat about your music. So first up, can you share the inspiration behind your single Americana, Let Her Go?
Should I take this one, Ross?
Yeah.
So basically, my friend, very, 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 very close family friend, died by suicide when I was about 21. And it was very, very hard for all of us to kind of to deal with, especially for her family and things. She was an amazing person as well. Like, she was a musician as well. She used to give me singing lessons. Like, she helped me, like, be the performer I am. Like, I wouldn't probably be doing the job I do if it wasn't for her. She was a huge part of my life. And so basically, I've always wanted to write a song with her in mind. I just never really found the right kind of, I never really knew what I wanted to say. And it's always really difficult when you're writing about something that's kind of so traumatic for so many people, and far more acute for other people as well. You want to be honest about, you know, to yourself and things, but you want to do their memory like good, and you don't want to upset, you know, the other people that are, you know, involved in the tragedy and stuff. So, Yeah, so it's basically about that. I mean, the song originally didn't really start kind of with that in mind. I basically had the lyric, She Was Into Americana, like the songs about guns and danger. I thought that was a really cool lyric. But then the way that the kind of guitar kind of flowed and things, and then I just kind of felt myself writing about this person and these emotions coming out of me that was so clearly about my friend that it kind of ended up turning into that kind of song. I mean, I don't think she even liked Americana music, so that's where I'm kind of taking a bit of poetic license. but yeah, so that was kind of how it, the idea of the song kind of came about.
Yeah, well, I think it's really great that you released this song because I think we need more songs like this. Even though it's on a sensitive topic and it can be really emotional for people who have experienced this, I think you, like you said, you always wanted to write a song with her in mind, and you did. And I'm sure that it was a little cathartic for you too, like being able to do that. So I think that's why it's really important that songs like these, even though they're on more difficult topics, I think they need to be written about. And I think it really took a lot of courage to release it too, because last year, one of my favorite songwriting mentors passed away unexpectedly, like right after Christmas. And I like found out in like the worst possible way, like on Facebook, and I had no idea. And literally for like months after that, I like couldn't write, couldn't do anything. And then I ended up writing a song about like how I was feeling. And after that, I was able to break my block and basically wrote a whole new album. And I don't think I'm ever going to release that song, but I think I just needed to write it for myself. So I think like whether these songs are released, which I think they really should be, or if you don't feel comfortable releasing the song, but you just need to do it for yourself, I think it's important to do that.
I mean, the most important thing for me was I spoke to her mom, and her brother was the best man at my wedding. And I spoke to them both, and her dad as well. And they both said they liked the song. They really liked it. And that was that was all that mattered to me. You know, if the song did no streams and no one ever heard it again, but they said they really liked it, then, you know, maybe Ross would disagree with this. Maybe Ross wants a bit more money for it. But for me personally, that was the main thing. And maybe our record label would probably want a bit more money for it.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy you've released that. So shifting gears, you are going to be releasing a cover song. So can you share which cover you selected and your process of making it different from the original?
Ross?
Yeah, it was the song we chose to do was Just Like Heaven by the band The Cure. We tried to just do a cover basically in our style. I don't really know sort of how it came about. We ended up sort of jamming the idea, I think, and then we just kind of did our thing on it. And
I think if I can remember rightly, I think it was something, we wanted to find something with a cool riff in, and as now I can't get the Smiths riff out of my head, but it's The Cure's got that amazing guitar riff, and I said to you, can you put that in a minor key? And you just came out with this amazing, like, down, 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 down. It's like this amazing, like, Americana blues riff. I was like, oh, yeah, we need to do this song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, cheers, mate. You've never told me that.
There you go.
I love that so much. I think it's really cool when songwriters do cover songs, because I think we have an interesting approach because we're able to make it our style and not copy the original. I don't think the point of doing a cover song is to mimic the original artist. It's not a cover. So I think it's really cool how you're able to do it with your style. That's something I always try to keep in mind when I'm doing them.
That's why we chose something from the 80s. Like, you know, that 80s kind of indie rock sound is so far away from what we do.
Yes, you know, it was like a very clean, like,
major
core, yeah, chorus happy,
yeah,
yeah, where we've just done the opposite of that.
Yeah, made it sound miserable.
no, not like that, but you know, we've put our cash and card to charm on it, let's say that.
That's perfect. So speaking of the Cash and Carter charm, you have an EP coming in the new year. So what's it called, and what can listeners expect on the project?
Well, it's called No Use Praying, which might scare a few diehard country listeners. it's basically a collection of. It's really hard to kind of put a finger on it. There's some like really, really country-esque tunes. Like All of the Way is, you know, pretty much straight up country. Then there's Americana and Just Like Heaven, which are kind of more experimental, a bit more on the Americana kind of thing. Whereas No Use Praying is a little bit more, bit more pop focused, but with all those country elements and stuff. And then there's also a special song on there called Ballad of Tallulah, but we won't really go into the story on that one because it's a bit of an odd song.
Well, we can leave it to the audience to work it out.
Yeah, tweet us and tell us what you think the song's about at Cash and Carter. These songs have been in the making for years, really, for us. And it's just a real pleasure to be able to put them out into the world and have people kind of listen to them and feedback. Because I think it would have been a real shame if they'd have just ended up sitting on our hard drive for the rest of time.
Yeah, well, I'm really excited to hear the whole EP. Good luck with the release.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. So just to wrap up, to circle back to our initial chat on motivation, what last piece of advice do each of you have to share with any songwriters and artists who are struggling with being motivated in the music industry?
I can't say get another job. Because that's what I tell myself. That's what my wife tells me.
Does she say that, does she?
No. She's lovely. Lovely. She would never say that. Sorry. Anyway, Ross, you go.
Consistency. Just try and write and write and write and write and do the thing that makes you happy. And for every, I don't know, 10 or 20 songs that you write, you know, you're going to have a couple of gems in there that you're like really proud of. But if you never start writing that first song, and it might be your first song that you write out of that group of 20 that's the one, or it might be the last, but unless you start, you know, as we've already kind of spoken about, you've got to just start. Just put pen to paper, get a beat going, get a guitar riff going, a vocal melody, a vocal lyric, like anything, whatever it is, you know, you just got to start.
My one is always, it's something that keeps me going, is the music industry is like sitting in Las Vegas and playing the one-armed bandit. Basically, you just keep put enough coins in there, keep pulling the arm, and then basically you'll get tiny little wins, just keep, as long as you can keep feeding the machine, eventually you'll pull that and it'll pay out big.
Oh my gosh. What an amazing analogy. Never heard that before.
So that one's from Martin Brammer, who's a songwriter in the UK. He wrote, Higher by Lighthouse Family, which is a massive hit over here. But he told me that one and it's lived rent-free in my head since then. The other one is, have you seen that guy digging for diamonds?
Oh my goodness.
The guy's like, there's two guys digging for diamonds at the end, and there's one's turned round and like walking back down the tunnel, and the other guy hits the diamonds with his pickaxe. And it's like that's the reason why I don't quit, because I don't want to be the guy who turns round and starts walking back before he hits the jackpot.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. You've definitely got to be in it to win it. So, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's perfect. Love it. Well, amazing advice. Great point to end on. It was lovely having you both on the show. Can you share with everybody where they can find you online and listen to your music?
Yeah, we're on Instagram and on TikTok. We're in Cash and Carter. So it's like CASHND Carter, spelled like Carter. That's on both Instagram and TikTok, and on Spotify. We're on all streaming services, and that's Cash and Carter, normally spelled normal. And hopefully follow us, listen to our music, stream us, and we'll see you at the CMAs at some point.
That'd be good, isn't it?
Perfect. Well, thank you so much again for joining me.
Thank you very much for having
us. Thank you.
Absolutely. Listeners, I hope you enjoyed this chat with Cash and Carter. And of course, until next time,
stay right on track.